Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I didn't know where that came from. Anyway, I'm Johan.
I'm Nathan. Again.
Hey, Jonathan. It's me, Chris. I'm really enjoying taping right now.
Well, good, Chris. I'm glad you're back.
Thanks, man.
Chris, you haven't contributed much.
Shut up, neither of you.
Oh, sick burn, Chris.
Wow, Chris, man, he's biting from beyond the grave.
He's not dead.
Well, why are you doing his voice then?
Shut up. What a weird way to tell everybody that Chris died.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. We're in minute 73, and this is the first time I've said this. In case you're wondering. And this minute begins with a red dot getting closer to a yellow dot and ends with a closed circuit camera feed being turned off. We're here with Nathan Renly and Johan Joseph. Welcome back, guys. Let's talk this minute. Here we go.
This is the worst four-player game of Pac-Man I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Dots only? No.
Oh, do you know about four-man Pac-Man?
I was there, man.
Yeah. I was there, man.
I was there. One-ups.
Johan, you should have been there with us, man.
Yeah, sorry I wasn't.
We were. Shout out to Pac-Man Royale.
Yeah, this is the one in Denver, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure that game is in other places.
Yeah. No, but when you guys all got together, because I kind of. Yeah. But I'll be there in Portland, so.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited.
Nathan, you coming to Portland?
Yeah, maybe.
I love that enthusiasm.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Hell maybe.
Okay, so let me do the list. Johan?
Yes.
Yes. Nathan, finally.
Hell yeah, maybe.
Finally, Nathan. Maybe.
Yeah.
I booked my house. The dad pad has been booked.
Yeah, I got the bachelor loft.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Are you coming solo?
Yeah.
Solo bolo?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I got my Kelty tent set up in someone's yard.
Ugh. Nathan's just a squatter.
Yep.
He's just going to come in and take over your place.
It's real sad.
It's my land now.
Yeah. I'll pee in your washing machine. I don't care.
I'm just composting out here. We don't have a compost pile. You do now. I'm Nathan Renly. This is how I talk.
Well, so we find out, right, that this is Naya is Miss Pac-Man.
Yes.
And that they're heading toward each other, but it's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing, and Luther is very upset. Well, one, Naya's signal is a lot bigger than Ethan's.
Yes.
So I don't really understand what's going on there.
Harsh.
Yeah, that's not nice. She's easily one-third the size of Ethan. And he's telling, of course, our favorite, at least my favorite person in this movie, which is Simple Billy, the helicopter pilot.
Oh, well, actually, it's really good that Naya is with them, because if not, you wouldn't know where the bad guys were, because they didn't put any tracking implants in those guys.
That's true. That I don't think they know the bad guys are there.
Well, Billy says she's probably not alive, is she, mate?
Or alone, not alive.
Oh, I thought he said alive every time.
No, he's saying alive.
Oh, I thought, oh, well, she's probably not likely to be alive, is she, mate? I was like, why are they dragging a dead woman into this building?
Didn't you go to high school in Australia? You should know this accent.
I didn't know Billy. I guess we never ran into each other.
Did you guys not go to the same high school? How many high schools are there in Australia? Four?
There's like nine and a half.
There's nine, but they're really far apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like really far.
Oh, my God. If you're on the west coast of Australia, you'll never see a cultured person.
Oh, wow. Hot takes for Australia.
Oh, I really hope no one from Western Australia listens, but if you do, hit me up, because let's chat about Christchurch.
Okay.
Okay.
If anybody listens. This minute is one of the minutes where we actually get some real heisting. A heist is actually going on now. There's stakes. Remember how we were talking about before? Why are we doing this? We still don't know why we're doing this, but at least now we've got something going on.
Yeah.
There's action. Luther is panicked. Billy is whatever. Luther is worried about the time, even though he's got 5 minutes left to talk to him. So it's taken this entire time. The last 2 minutes have taken 4 minutes of movie time. So that's actually not that bad.
Yeah. They've 5.5 minutes left. So yeah, 2.5, but it's only been 2. So yeah, we're really zipping along. Has the whole movie been this speed? Is the whole movie taking place over about, I don't know, like 90 minutes so far?
Yeah, because Luther has a little timer that's been in the corner of the movie the whole time. When the movie started, he hit it.
Just a friendly reminder, the movie's going to be over in 110 minutes. Click.
And he's counting down, though, so every scene it's just like, 98, 97, 96. Like, oh my God.
Why did you start the count so high?
I know. We just start at 6. Start at 6.
In actuality, Ethan hasn't done a lot.
Nope.
He's just been walking around.
He cut something. He jumped down. He walked forward, put on a mask, turned on a recorder, and walked into a tube.
But the timer started when he jumped down.
A little bit before that, when he was pulling the glass off.
Okay, so that's like 2.5. It's still not a lot. Like, he hasn't done a lot. Especially if you already have the layout of the location you're in. Like, he's not trying to, like, you know, try and find out where everything is.
I don't think he has. Yeah, because I don't think the time matters. He is out of contact with him for 8 minutes. But it doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, matter.
Yeah, but if you're in a heist, you're not really moseying. Like, it took him almost 2 minutes to go to the bathroom drain to do the talkback. And then he's still just walking from that location.
Yeah, definitely doesn't feel like there's any sort of
rush
for this.
Well, he can't see the Pac-Man screen, so he doesn't know. But
yeah, that's true.
That was my note, too. Why is he moving so slowly? It's like they forgot that it's not the first movie and there's not a sound requirement now. You can just like run in there and kill everything real quick. It's fine.
Yeah, but if you're trying to save the world, more or less, you don't mosey.
That's what Superman says. He goes faster than a speeding moseyer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's always a sense of urgency, and that's not really happening here. He's a
I
kind
of even want him in more of like a maybe an athletic stance of any kind. He's just kind of walking.
Yeah.
Like you walk through an art museum is basically what he's doing. Just kind of like, what's this room?
Huh. I swear he stopped at the water cooler for a few minutes.
Yeah. He's like, oh, what's this? And he's reading a little plaque that says like, oh, this person was in this period. Oh, that makes sense. I can see the emotion. And he walks around.
They got employee of the month. I do more than her.
Come on, twice in a row, Jesus, favoritism.
And we get a front shot. This is my favorite shot of, it's hard to say, of the movie so far. There's a lot more stuff in the third act that I love, but this shot of the three electron microscopes with those giant red lights above them, it always reminded me of The Matrix. Again, we were talking about, you know, Neo coming into that hallway downstairs yesterday, right, Nathan? Mm-hmm. That's the same thing. I always see this as those are those drones that come by and, like, try and dismantle everything before they hit the EMP.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have that kind of eyeballs. You know, like, they have, like, giant red eyes. And I always think of that when I see this. I love this scene. I love the way it's lit. Seems impractical for an area that has to have light. I don't understand how that, if that's supposed to be the natural light shining on it, shining on those Petri dishes.
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, I thought that was the whole point of the light coming through the atrium. Yeah.
Man, they really need to learn about full spectrum bulbs. They sell them at Costco.
We talked about this too. We were like, you can generate the same heat. We've had reptiles as pets for years.
Yeah, what kind of pussy virus is this that can't even survive any sort of adverse condition? Those aren't the kind of viruses that take over the whole world.
I know. Isn't measles stronger than it?
Measles right beat now, it up in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And by bathroom, you mean the thing you talk into.
Yeah. That's where they fought.
So measles is stronger than this thing.
Even chickenpox picks on this virus.
Yeah.
Hey, Chimera, nice haircut.
Nice haircut. Oh, look at you. You're in a little blue room.
Nice goat body.
Nice goat body.
Hey, Snake, why are you biting yourself? Why are you biting yourself?
Ouroboros.
Have you guys ever seen an electron microscope?
No.
Yeah, it's like a video camera, basically, right? It doesn't heat up.
This is a multi-purpose. Yeah, we'll get to it this week. All the things this microscope tube does. But, yeah, this is one of those things where I just don't have enough of a frame of reference to say, haha, look what they've done. It's dumb. I'm like, I don't know what... I think I've seen electron microscopes, and they've always been beige. Like, they're just kind of, like, default beige. Like, they're just a big box. They're not what you think. When you think of a microscope, I think it's round parts like this that are, like, big.
Well, I think it, like, shoots something, and then it responds to how that's responding rather than actually looking, like, optically.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it can't, because it's stuff you can't see with
right,
your
eyes. Right. So they're shooting probably electrons based on its name and like seeing what returns or something like that. Like sonar, maybe, like how sonar is with sound, something like that, but okay. With electrons. That's what I would think. That you could look at like bed bugs and have them be terrifying.
Yeah, but it would have to have a continuous stream in order to do what it's going to be designed to do in the next minute.
Incubation room. These are open petri dishes of a deadly human-killing virus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where does...
Are we all good with that?
Yeah. And natural light is coming from an open shaft?
Yep. Into a blue room with nothing around it. And these samples are not tied down. They're just sitting on a table.
Only John C. McCloy can go in there.
Yeah. God, this thing's just lacking, like, a little bowl of, like, it's supposed to be an ashtray, but your grandma's used it for like her sewing tools.
That is what it looks like.
Yeah,
it
like
is a repurposed sewing.
Yeah.
It's one of those ashtrays that's like a beanbag underneath.
Yeah.
So it could like be set on anything.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just, it just feels so insecure.
Well, no, you have to put in your Excite mail password in order to access it. So,
yeah. He hits, Ethan walks over to the computer and he hits, two buttons. Well, I don't know what he pushes. I can't tell. It's not one of those scenes where I can actually read the keystrokes. He's wearing really big neoprene gloves. Yeah. Yeah. So
am I the only one that hates typing with gloves on?
That's never come up in my life. I assume I would hate it.
I do that at my work every so often. I have to look down and make sure that I'm pressing the right key because I can't. You just don't feel the keys like just quite right. You know what I mean?
You got to get those sheepskin gloves so you really get all the feeling.
Yeah, but when...
That's what I've heard.
We have the gloves that like kind of to grip like all the items that are in there so they don't, you know, slip out of your hands. So, which is kind of like this. Like he has these super thick ones to prevent that open air disease or whatever it is to get into them.
Well, hopefully, and also it might help that maybe the password for this computer was Hergemerger. So he just literally was just like fat fingering everything on the keyboard.
I think it was L. Ron Hubbard.
The password was password. Password 1.
Password 1.
Yeah.
It's John C. McCloy 1234.
Capital P, password, and then number 1.
All one word. Yeah, I know. Idiot.
It's John C. McCloy, but the C is S-E-E. Ha ha, got you there.
Yeah. Oh, you did get me there. Yeah.
Actually, that is a pretty good password, though.
I'm going to start using John C. McCloy. Don't get on my Netflix, please. It won't be minuteimpossible@gmail.com, so don't.
There's got to be so many real John C. McCloys, right? If you are one, write in. Tell Jonathan that you don't appreciate his identity theft.
Yeah, please write into our email since no one's ever written to our email. This is what I want our first email to be.
What's your email?
From an actual listener. MinuteImpossible@gmail.com.
I'll send you something about that. It might not be.
So, hey, want, it's me, John C. McCloy. How you doing? Yeah.
John C.
So at about 29 seconds where he's looking at the yellow blip about to meet up with the red blip, I have a problem with this.
Okay.
The first floor is moving up.
Yes. What the hell?
Like the entire map is moving up. Not just the yellow dot, but the entire floor is moving up.
It's like a 3D rendering of a floor that's getting larger. Like they know the exact layout of the elevator.
Yeah.
I don't think the designer on day of knew what they were doing. I think, oh, you know what? I know exactly what's happening. It's not. Okay.
Oh, wait. I see it changing around. It's just like parts of the room are changing. Yeah.
when she is in the elevator going up, the room around her, it's every floor, every slice that she's on has a different layout. So if she stopped at a certain elevation, she would all be on the third floor, and it has a layout.
Here, okay, now that I see that, here's another problem. Why do they have real-time layout of each floor that she's on for a split second, but he still can't talk to him?
Exactly.
Agreed.
It's like 3D mapping of the entire place. Like, that would ever be useful, but they're already doing that.
Yeah, because they're on the floor for, like, milliseconds. And it already maps it out.
And if you look at the on the left side, you can actually see how far up. He's like on the 43rd floor. We figured this out last week.
Yeah.
If he's on the 43rd floor and she's in the atrium or the lobby, she's wearing a tractor that cannot be picked. She's wearing a tractor. She's wearing a tracker. Nye's wearing a tracker that cannot be picked up by scans.
Like, for some reason, this elevator is above the weight limit. It's like, she doesn't know there's a tractor right there.
It wouldn't start pinging her without them actively pinging her. Remember, way back, probably a month ago for us, but in the movie, when they're at the farmhouse and they're using that only that one computer can track where Nye is?
Oh, right, remember right. When they're on the
laptop?
We're in the Outback?
Yeah, they're in the Outback, and they're using that thing, and it zooms down Google Maps style to see her.
Yeah.
Well, how are they tracking her right now?
They got that one.
They're not using that laptop. Or are they?
They're linked up with... They're doing a screen share with that laptop.
Basically, they made that laptop special by saying it's the only one that can track her. Because they needed it to be passive. Like, it's like when she's not being tracked, which they're not doing all the time, it gives no signal off because she got scanned by Ambrose's people. But now he's not looking for her and her blip comes on. So he has to be actively searching.
And like, what is the point of this? Is it just for the audience? Like, we yes. already know that they're going into the place and you don't see her. But then they say that they've got the tracker so that you would know it, even though they could have just shown you because they had a camera down there. But also, Ethan doesn't know it because he can't low it. So it's like, it doesn't add anything to the tension. It's just like, if you want to like identify with Luther and Billy being anxious, that's there for you. But like, nothing else is affected by this whole tracking situation, right?
It's a stronger scene if they are looking both... in some way looking at the timer that's coming down and they know that he's in there and they're just worried.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the level of tension for the team. And then have the other stuff being going on and they don't know it at all.
Yeah. It's like, you know it, but then they like have to explain to you why that's important. So they also have them know it, but it can't interact with it. So like, it's like another audience member that's like, oh my God, if those two dots to get together, that'll mean the team's there and they can shoot each other. And you'll be like, oh, that is what that means. Huh? Carry on.
Yeah, I don't need that. I would rather, and all my biggest concern with that, and I went and my moment of pedantry was looking up. If you look at sea level, it shows how many feet above sea level.
Yeah,
that they're moving. Sydney itself is 80 to 100 meters above sea level, starting with. They have them at 80 meters above sea level. In the sky.
How does that make sense, though? That means a building is at sea level to begin with.
Yeah, that's not true. Nothing's at sea level or it would be underwater. The only thing's at sea level is the ocean where the ocean touches Earth, correct? That's sea level.
Pretty much.
You live in California. You know these things, right?
Yeah, and there's not a lot of places that are at sea level. There is a place that's below sea level, which is Death Valley, but...
New Orleans, below sea level. But yeah, it's above sea level. When I saw that, I was like, again, I think the person who had the poor production designer who had to design this part of it just was kind of building stuff and not really basing it on anything. And so a lot of the little doodads and hoo-has that are going on in it don't really jive up.
Mm.
They're like, we need a way to track it. I wonder if they had this same argument that we're having now. Like with the director of the art director, the guy who I talked about, the Colonel Sanders. I wonder if they went to him and like, yeah, there's no reason to show this. We can just have Luther and Billy just be scared, just be worried.
But like, why would you even show them? Just like a, like, what the hell is Billy doing? He's talking quietly in an active helicopter that he's flying about, like, well, I don't know.
Well, don't get us started on why Billy is useless in this movie. He has nothing to do.
Is that why?
He's there so Luther can talk to him.
Yeah, I think he's supposed to be like the audience perspective type thing. Like, this is how the audience would connect with someone that's in the movie. I think that's all he is.
I feel insulted that they think that we're as smart as Billy.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, we're not
We've painted pilots. Him as a buffoon this entire movie. Yeah, because he has been. He's done nothing.
So it keeps showing them walking forward, and, you know, Stamp is down there. I forgot to say this earlier, but wouldn't this be a better movie if Stamp was played by Paul Hogan?
Wow, that question went a completely different way than I thought it would, because I thought you were going to say what a lot of people have said every week, which is, God, wouldn't this movie be better if Stamp was the bad guy, was the main bad guy?
Oh, I love Stamp. I'm really sad about how he does. But
I like the Paul Hogan thing. Because I would love Paul Hogan as a bad guy. Well, I know he's a bad guy in the real life.
Is he?
I mean, oh, yes. I've said this on this podcast. He is famously a D-bag. All those writing credits he has on movies. I'll tell a story again. I love this story. And since you went to high school there, I'll shatter your dreams about your Australian heroes.
I went to high school with Paul Hogan.
What?
What?
He just hung out there. I think he liked kids. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. Never mind. That was allegedly. No, that's not a real thing.
Okay. But Paul Hogan, you know how he has writing credits on all these movies, Crocodile Dundee, all the movies that he did. He's one of the writers. They had a writer on one time and on an interview, and what he said was he and his writing partner wrote a movie. Paul Hogan would come in, take all the scenes, change all the names, and change the places that they were in to something a little different, and then add his name as a writer.
Wow.
Like, the main character might be named Jim and Fred. He would name them Ted and Sam, and they went on a boat, and he'd instead put them on a pontoon boat. And they, instead of going to the marina, they went to a thing on a lake. He would change all the specific situations so it was different, and he would get a writing credit. And also, he's not a nice man.
That's really lame. You know that movie, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry?
Yeah. I do know that
I'm
movie.
Pretty sure that was a remake of this movie that came out in Australia that was starring Paul Hogan and the star of this other movie in Australia called The Castle. And I never saw that movie, and I never saw Now I Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. But I want to say, everyone that's interested at all in Australia should watch The Castle. It's an amazing movie. It's so charming and funny. And they reference it in Thor Ragnarok. And you got to see The Castle. It came out in 1997. It's an amazing movie.
Well, now I have to go watch it.
I watch it every single year.
For any sort of holiday?
I watch it for Christmas.
Australian
holiday? I watch it for Christmas, but it's not a Christmas movie. It's just a really great movie. It's on YouTube. You can buy it on there, but it is kind of Americanized. They like overdub some stuff, but it's still okay. It's still a good movie on there.
Well, it's a good place as any to wrap this episode up and talk about Tech of the Ep. Again, lots of stuff to talk about. Whether it works or not, there is a lot of tech. So let's go in there. Here we go.
Do you want to go with the Brainiac microscope?
Yes, that's another thing. It looks like Brainiac's forehead symbol.
Yep.
Yes, Viral Docs.
I mean, it's still weird that you need three right next to each other, but all right.
Yeah, what do you think the different samples are? Why do you think they're different? They said incubation. Do they just need literal space? Like, it started in one Petri dish?
Wait, why are the Petri dishes free-floating, but then you get three microscopes that are stable? Shouldn't it be the other way around? You know, because you can turn the magnification?
I do not know.
Yeah, this... I mean, it's fascinating. Three different microscopes right next to each other. Cool, but...
I would think if you had an incubation room by itself, you would have one electron microscope.
Mm-hmm. And you moved a Petri dish in and out.
If you needed to, but once you have it created, you don't need to look at it. Is it the point of this is so important that it's constantly being monitored?
Are these sealed in like glass containers inside, like the petri dish inside a glass container or something?
No, they are open.
They'll contaminate each other.
Yeah, the cross contamination. You're right.
Aren't they the same thing though?
But why would you have three if they're the same?
I don't know. I don't understand. Other than production wise, they wanted something to look cool.
Yeah, why would you have all three in the same place if they're exactly the same?
I also don't think you. I mean, I think anybody who studies. I wonder if any of our listeners study germs or are scientists on any level like that, because it would be interesting to find out. You don't leave stuff open.
No.
Ever.
No, I learned about this in biology. When you know where you make your own like a sample, like mold sample or something like mm-hmm. that.
I don't know if this is relevant, but open petri dishes is my tech at the app.
You just love that so much.
Yeah, I just like cross-contaminate, natural selection, baby.
Whoever survives, survives. Yep.
Hopefully, Ethan Hunt.
You're like Dwight Schrute. We need another plague.
Yeah, exactly.
There is oxygen and air in there because it's keeping it at a certain temperature. So there is something.
It's contaminating the entire building.
No, it's contaminated that one room, which also seems, usually when they contaminate something, like they have, figure this out, they have the cure inside of a incubator, like inside of a, like a, what you put a preemie baby in with the little gloves that you stick your hands in, but the disease is out in a room.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and if it's circulating air that you don't want to rely on like a cotton filter to make sure it's not going to, what's it called? Contaminate the entire building.
Right. Mine is the one shot we get of the scanning electron microscope interface. It's pretty lame. I love it because someone had to take the time to build a wireframe of the electron microscopes as seen from above.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
Also a weird POV. But I'm actually okay with it. But the funny thing about that is that there are three of them, and there are three separate controls with three of the exact same things on it. There's probe current, accelerator voltage, scanning coil, vacuum mode, specimen stage, and object aperture. Okay. Object aperture is a toggle on or off. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's not how a microscope works.
Or a camera.
You don't just turn it. Or you don't just
oh my
turn
God,
it
I accidentally put it on vacuum mode. Is the sample okay? Where is
so
it?
Not, well, we're gonna find out tomorrow it doesn't only do vacuum
yeah,
mode.
It'll keep
it does another mode.
It'll
too,
keep but, your samples but, alive or maybe not.
But vacuum mode, it's like what?
By Dyson.
I wish I knew more about microscopes so I could find out if these kind of things can be done with multiple microscopes.
The voltage part, what's okay? ACC accelerator voltage or whatever. We'll say it's that.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't if you wanted to know what the voltage is, you get a number, not yes.
No, it's a yes or no question.
Yeah,
all of the toggles in this interface. That's why I like it. Is
it's
yes
voltage?
Or no.
How's the voltage? Yes. It's just a blue
there
box.
Is
There's no number.
Either you want voltage or you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you? What are you, AC/DC member or some sort of Rolling Stones guy?
Specimen stage is also a yes or no. It's just a blue box or a red box. How's the specimen doing? Yes.
No, it's a color. It changes from colors.
What do you think those eight bar chart things over on the right
and
are telling us?
Not explained.
So my tech of the app is the zip ties.
Ah! He's back. Oh, my gosh. Chris, you gotta warn somebody when you come up the stairs.
Yeah, well, you know, we keep them really quiet so that way we can sneak up on those directors.
All right. Well, welcome back, Chris.
Thank you.
I mean, he's been here the whole time. Yeah. You did an intro.
Yeah, exactly.
See?
Just trying to entice J.J. Abrams into the closet. It's kind of hard.
Oh, yeah. We got that third one we're trying
exactly.
to get. Well, that's for
next year. I'm just trying to get it done early, you know, because you know, we're almost halfway through with this movie, and I got to be ready.
Did you put a mystery box in there?
Yes, I did. It's J.J. Abrams. I told him Spielberg. I told him Spielberg was sitting in there waiting for him with two tickets to Galaxy's Edge. And
oh, I'm going in there now. I'll see you in a second.
Oh no, it's John Woo with his lasso.
Yeah, I was going to go with the zip ties because you know you can't go wrong with the zip tie.
Yeah, but just for multi-million-dollar facility, you'd think they'd have a little bit better
wire management.
Yes, instead
but, of zip you know, ties. Doing video stuff and film stuff and in theaters, you find that the wire management is kind of out the door once you actually start looking at it. You're like, oh wait, is that a little like tie for the. For the bread, you know, when you get your bread, is that the little tie for that? Why are we doing that? Oh, because in case we have to change the wiring on it something. I'm like, just cut the zip tie. Come on.
Half my day is trying to work through someone else's wire management.
Exactly. So I get that.
One of the things I do at work, I've kind of taken over some IT responsibility. And so I'll walk in there and I'll just be like, these are three cords and two of them are not even plugged to anything. Why are they together? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I've been that.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Awesome. Well, this is a great place to end. Guys, thank you so much for being on. Chris, thank you so much for being here the entire episode.
Yes, I was here the entire episode, just hiding in the closet.
Uh-huh. It was great to get to know you, Chris.
Yes. Yep. I'm very talkative.
Yeah, you've been very quiet. I have been. So, I mean, last week you just boycotted the Woodyard.
I know. I was just like, no.
He was wrestling directors. So.
I was, you know, it's hard, you know. I'm trying to, you know, once you get JJ in, it's easy enough to get Brad Bird in because he's part of the group, but you know, Macquarie, that's going to be a whole other hunt.
Oh yeah, and De Palma, man, oh, that guy has really strong legs. Just so you guys know, he can get you in one of those leg locks. It's not pretty.
It's not pretty at all.
Does he do like the Indian leg wrestling? Like it's really that hard?
It's
like once he gets you down on the ground, it's kind of a fight for your life type.
Well, see what happened was when I told him that George Lucas was in there, so he could pummel him some more with thoughts about episode 4. You know, he was like, "What's episode 4?" So you know, it was just he knew I was lying. So then he got into a big fight.
A New Hope,
just a mess. Yeah, A New Hope. What's that? That's what he looked terrible. At me like I was stupid, like I had you know antenna on. But you know, I did have those little boppy eared ones from the '80s. But that was a whole other story.
All right. Well, y'all know where to find us. We're at MinuteImpossible.com. You can find all of our stuff there. We've got links to our Patreon, links to our merch on TeePublic. We have new t-shirts. We have old t-shirts from last season. I say old. They are aged t-shirts. They're still good. You still wear them. They still have
no ageism towards the shirts, man.
They still have four holes like t-shirts do. So you can get a tank top. That's like four big holes. What are we talking about? Anyway, holes. You can find us on Facebook at the Impossible Minute Force. And until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Johan.
I'm Nathan.
This minute will self-destruct. See you next time.